Welcome into the KSO show. Mason Voth, Drew Galloway with you. Monday, March 24th. Why is that date important? It's because the transfer portal is officially open in college basketball. It'll be open for the next 30 days. So you're going to want to stay locked in right here on the KSO YouTube podcast. Also, certainly head over to On3 and find K-State Online there, because we'll have everything that you need to know in one spot with the transfer tracker. And then that will send you to all of our updates and other possibilities and really anything informationally that you need with K-State basketball and their search in the transfer portal. Since it opened today, this will kind of be a scene setter for you. Maybe not as much action early as we thought that there might be. I kind of thought we might get at least one name for K-State that wasn't going to be around next year. We haven't seen that yet. And unless these kids these days use an Instagram for all their big announcements, I'm not going to see it if you post it on Instagram. So who knows? Maybe the whole team's in the portal, but I am not Instagramming to keep up with it. I'm on there. I have a private account that I share pictures of stadiums, my dog, and my daughter. And that's it. I'm not following Coleman Hawkins or whatever future transfer portal landing that K-State is going to have. It's not happening. It's not what it's there for. Keep it on Twitter for me. So we'll talk about what we do know with K-State in their portal direction as it currently sits. Maybe some of the bigger picture of where this thing needs to go, how things should look, because we already have at least one name that we know is linked to K-State in some way. And I think you and I are both on the same wavelength on it, Drew. And I don't necessarily like what that might mean for K-State. So we will dive into all of that today and just kind of get everybody ready for it. And then in the coming days, I imagine we will start to have more and more come our way with the transfer portal. So we'll see how everything goes from that point moving forward. Now, as we set the stage for that, I do have to remind everybody about the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. It will be taking place August 23rd, 2025. So yesterday was exactly 5 months out from kickoff, and we're getting closer and closer to it. It's going to be a fun time. If you are still trying to figure out, man, how do I get over there? What do I do? Best way to do it at this point, cats2ireland.com. They will get you hooked up with every aspect of what you need. It's not just the fact that they're going to be able to get you into the game with your tickets, but they're going to have great packages that can really span however long you want to be in Ireland and experience the Emerald Isle. So, you know, if you're somebody that says, I don't like my family, or you do love your family so much, you want a lot of time together, you can go. They've got three city packages. You're going to get to see some of the best cities in Ireland, and you can pick how long you want this trip to take. One, for example, we've talked about it. You say, Moby Kagaruka, that's my guy. I want to go see where he grew up. Boom. Galway, Dublin, Kerry, you get those three. That's an 8-night trip, August 19th through the 27th. Also comes with your ticket to the game. But plenty of other options, too, where you don't have to be there for an eternity. As my dad, if he was on vacation for 8 days, he'd probably start fighting his family and tell us, you know, he didn't want to be around us anymore. That's fine. I understand it. We all, too much time's not great. So you can chop it down. You can go 6 nights over there. You can go 3 nights, just however many days you want to be there. Cats2Ireland.com is going to get you hooked up, and it's going to show you all the places that you want to see in Ireland. It's not just, hey, you're going to get to see these pockets. No, if you're somebody that has an idea and you want to see this region, this kind of, you know, whatever, you're going to be able to get to experience it. Cats2Ireland.com has way more information than what I can lay out for you. So that's the best place to do it. Go on there. They also have some add-on regions that you can pick and get that added to your trip as well. So that's all right there for you. Go to cats2ireland.com, get started on that. And before we get into basketball, it's time for Drew's Ireland fun fact.
I have a timely Ireland fun fact today because we're talking about basketball. And we've talked a little bit about how Ireland, not a rich basketball history.
Not ballers.
No, Ireland has only qualified for the Olympics one time in basketball, and it came in 1948.
Oof.
And that was obviously a long time ago. And I bring up that it was a long time ago because I have their scores from 1948.
40-5.
Oh, it's worse than that.
100-0.
Their first game in 1948, Mexico defeated Ireland 71-9. Then they lost to Iran 49-22, and then got beat by Cuba 88-25, and then lost to France 73-14. It's the only time that they've ever qualified for the Olympics in basketball, and for the last since 1992, they haven't even like attempted to qualify.
Okay, that was going to be my question. Was do they even still try to qualify for the Olympics in basketball? But
no, because since 1948, they have not won a single game in Olympic basketball qualifying. They are 0-21.
Well, so we probably shouldn't expect an Aer Lingus College Basketball Classic anytime soon.
Probably not.
that's impressive stuff. I threw out 100-0 because when I was in high school, I was going through some things. I believe this is correct, but I read that Buehler once beat South Hutch 100-0. And that was like way back in the day. So that's something that to throw out there. That's a legit score, but good to know about Irish basketball. It honestly, that stat makes it impressive that Moby Ikeguruka is even in like playing basketball somewhere, or you know, you said what, they had one guy make it to the NBA.
Yeah, they are ranked 82nd in the latest FIBA basketball rankings.
Well, that's impressive. They're not even playing and they're 82nd. So there's a lot of untapped.
Well, they're still playing. They're just not like they're not playing in like the Olympic settings.
Gotcha.
Like they're actually very good at the championships for the small countries. They won gold in basketball in 2021 in the championships for small countries.
Well, this changes everything. I thought that they were just basketball's not for us.
They are terrible when it's like against bigger countries in the world, but against like countries that are similar in size and population to them, they're okay.
Do you think there is any other country that has as much like, I don't know, tourism and like people are aware of it, but the athletic prowess is at such a lower level? Because like on a national stage, the two sports that probably team sports wise that have the most impact are soccer and basketball, you would think. And Ireland, their presence in that is non-existent. But, I mean, rugby, I think they're pretty good at. Just kind of interesting. Like, I don't know if there's another country that can match up like that.
That's a great point. Leave that in the comments if you find a place that's similar.
I'm sure we're wrong on that. All right, this is supposed to be about the basketball transfer portal. So let's make it about the basketball transfer portal. Open today. If you want the full rundown of everything information-wise, go to the K-State Online Transfer Tracker and follow along with everything. There are plenty of updates coming your way from Derek Young, Drew, myself, and we'll keep everything up to date. There is one known portal already in the portal. This player is there. K-State has the interest in it. Our Jamie Schott at On3. Yeah. Our Jamie Shaw put out that, hey, these are the teams that are kind of in the mix for him already and refer to him as one of the hottest names in the transfer portal. Keep in mind, he was in the portal before it actually opened. So I think there had to have been a coaching change there because he went in on March 18th. 6'3" guard Chase Forte is in the transfer portal. He is currently the 20th ranked player in the portal. That will change as more guys enter. But he had a list of teams that he said that he's hearing from the most right now. Those teams, USC, Arizona State, Boston College, Wichita State, and K-State. Says he's also heard from Miami, Mississippi State, Baylor, and Ole Miss. He's an interesting player from the standpoint of there are some accolades there that I know that people have talked about and might be of interest. to you. He had success in the Summit League, but the shooting isn't totally there. And my immediate thought when I saw the Chase Forte news was, I don't like K-State being in the mix with the other schools here that are supposedly the highest, I don't know, suitors right now of Forte. USC, not good last year. You know, Eric Musselman is at least a coach that you're probably a little bit more comfortable being associated with in terms of knowing that he's accomplished things in the past, and that it was a directional thing there where he decided to get out and go to USC over Arkansas. But we know Arizona State sucks. They are a train wreck, and not many of those guys that they had on the team last year were guys that you would have probably wanted at K-State. And then some of the guys that you would have also just kind of ended up at Arizona State because it was late in the cycle and they kind of had to. We know that Boston College, they're an afterthought in college basketball, terrible. And then Wichita State, Paul Mills, after they get bounced from the NIT, is telling the media that he told his friends they need to call him Portal Paul because that's what he's going to be working on all offseason. And newsflash, Wichita State, they did beat K-State this year. That doesn't make them a good team. This is where we start to talk about the failures of last year. I just don't see Chase Forte as being a guy that makes sense. And I don't want a lot of the guys that K-State is targeting to have the same profile as him. That doesn't mean that he is a lousy player and not worth, you know, a spot or that it couldn't work out. It's just that I don't know that the expectations for what he might have and what for K-State fans might have would all jive together here. We talk so much in football recruiting. Look at the offers for the guy. Don't look at this or that about him. And, you know, with Chris Klieman, we talk, oh, look, this guy, he's got offers from Oklahoma State, TCU, you know, Texas Tech, Baylor. Like, you're competing with all these schools that you go, okay, this makes sense. If Chris Klieman offered a guy and the only offers that he had to go with it were, I'm trying to think of who maybe the best example would be right now. Cincinnati, you know, you think Cincinnati is a competitor, then a bunch of like group of five schools and whoever else is like, this isn't great. Boston College football, throw that one out there. We'll just kill Boston College in this. We would be semi-critical of that. We would think that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't like the initial list on here. I don't think that these people, that these programs have it all together. So again, you have to kind of cast a wide net and try to catch some in the portal. But this was one that immediately I just kind of go, I don't see the shooting. This was a bad shooting team last year. Played well in a smaller league, but I don't know that it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's one that there are some things that I'm like, okay, that could work. Because you look at Chase Forte, and the one thing that I think that he does that really stands out is he gets to the free throw line. The problem is that as a guard, he's a 62% free throw shooter, but he does get to the line almost 8 times a game. So that's one that you're like, maybe that's okay, but he can't shoot the 3 very well. He only has 1 year of pretty good production, and it was this past year. Because the other red flag that arises for me when I look at Chase Forte and kind of going after him right now is, if you're on your 4th school and this will be 5 years, I put up a little bit of a red flag. I know that that's going to be a little bit more common as we kind of move along in the transfer portal era, but that's just something that gives me a pause. It was something that gave both of us a pause about Tyreek Smith. It's something that comes up here. This is also a guy that, just because they're in the portal, you don't necessarily have to cast a wide net yet. I've been talking just kind of on and off with a lot of people, and mostly fans, actually, about just like guys that are in the portal and just talking. There are a lot of numbers right now in the portal. Like Jeff Goodman, of course, was one of the first people to really go off about talking about how like unbelievable it is that there's already 500 players in the transfer portal. And last year, I think there was only like 1,000 total, but you get 500 today. There was probably maybe two guys that entered today that I'm like, oh, that would be kind of interesting. So right now, I think we're in a little bit of a wait and see. This hasn't been like this hectic Monday that I think everybody was kind of anticipating. And I think because of that, I would be more inclined, I think, to kind of just stand packed and kind of see who else enters, because a guy like Chase Forte, I think there's a lot of guys kind of like that in the portal.
Yeah.
If you wait long enough. And guys that probably aren't going to be on their fourth school in 5 years.
Yeah, and you think that that's one of the things that we talked about when K-State got Tyreek Smith out of the portal in the middle of the year, is this is a guy that has bounced around a lot. And we've talked about the personality fit and everything that goes with that, and guys that bounce around a ton, it doesn't seem to jive. Like, it doesn't seem to, always work out the best. And again, Tyreek Smith, they still have to get a waiver from him for him to even be eligible to play one more year of basketball next season. And B, that's a guy that like you're going to have to try and, if you want to, also retain, because I'm sure he's a guy that could also look around and say, I mean, he dipped from Memphis before the season started, like in the build up to the season starting, was there, spent time with him, and then entered the portal and left. Like, he is a guy that you're probably going to have to re-recruit if you want to keep him around. So, like, I'm totally with you. With this, does not need to be like, you are going to have more Chase Fortes that enter the portal, that they are not great shooters. They can probably play some good defense. Maybe they're quick. Maybe they're athletic. They can do some of these things. You don't need to do too much now. And again, this is the one thing that we have to keep in mind with all this to alleviate some of what the thought might be on this coaching staff. We don't know the extent of what they've actually done with Chase Forte outside of maybe they've called him once and texted him twice, and that's enough to be considered a hot item amongst these teams for Chase Forte, because we have to be aware of this. Guys are going to use other teams as leverage or whatever else to try and maneuver in the transfer portal. And I think K-State is going to be used a lot more than others this year. We saw it, I think, some last year where there were guys that you just look and go, I don't think K-State has real interest in them. And we wrote them off, but they would, K-State pop up in a top five graphic or something for a guy in the portal. And you're like, K-State hasn't talked to that dude in 2.5 weeks. I doubt that they're really in the running for this. Guys are going to use K-State like that because they know that K-State had the financial backing last year, and it's going to be able to drive their price up a little bit in some situations, I would imagine, is the goal. So I don't want to fully put that on this staff, but yeah, it's the only name we have right now. So we're going to overanalyze it, but it was one that I just go, like, this is a big offseason to prove that this staff has learned some lessons. And this was not one that made me go, oh yeah, I think they're learning their lesson here. I was like, no, I'm not seeing it, but we'll see how it unfolds. And certainly, like, we can easily be wrong on it. And I think a lot of us, you, me, whoever, fans, like, the BS meter is going to be up a lot more this year. Like, there's going to be a lot of skepticism and less just automatic buy-in like there was last year. You know, I'm not ashamed to admit that I loved what they did last year in the portal. And I was wildly wrong. And I was a total idiot for it. So I'm not going to go all the way in like that this year because I've learned from my mistakes. So I'm going to, I'm going to rectify my problems. We're going to find out if the K-State coaching staff is also going to rectify their own problems.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the right mindset to have, is to be a little bit cautiously optimistic. The other thing with this Chase Forte thing, and again, it is just kind of overanalyzing because it's the one name that we really have that's tangible right now, is when you are hoping to bring five or six guys back, you could get a seventh. Yeah, if you can get a waiver for Max Jones, you have to go 100% in the portal. Like, there isn't a lot of room for error for what K-State is bringing back, because a lot of what they're bringing back are guys that are just, like, nice pieces. Like, I think that Doug McDaniel could be an all-conference guy, potentially, if he keeps growing. But, like, Brendan Hosen is somebody that would be, like, a nice piece.
Here's the thing. I'm a big Brendan Hosen guy, but he has hit the peak of what he is going to be at K-State.
Yes.
He shot 40% on a pretty high volume last year. Like, you're not going to get any better than the version of Brendan Hosen you got from basically, you know, January on.
No, and like, that's a guy that, like I said, is just a nice piece and a role player. Like, Mubi Ikegaruka is a role player at best. We don't know what Bifall is. We don't really know what Taj Manning is. CJ Jones, if he decides to return, would be just another nice piece. Like, you have to go get studs in the portal right now, because you have a lot of guys that are just, like, good role players at their peak, where you need guys that can come and be proven starters right away in the Big 12 right now. And K-State only has really one of those. And the only one that we saw of that was a Doug McDaniel that played for the last half of the season. And that's somebody that you want to bring back and you want to retain and you want him to keep growing. But you have to get that Doug McDaniel from game one next year. And Chase Forte is a guy to me that would kind of fit that, like, CJ Jones or Brendan Hosen role of just being kind of like another, like, role player.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You have to have guys like that. You have to have dudes that are going to come in and fill this thing out. We saw what happens when this staff tries to just get seven starters for five spots. Didn't work out for them. You swing and miss, and then you probably let some guys that are middle of the pack go by that would have been better to have than what you ended up doing. And then you overspend on guys that aren't necessarily worth what you're going to get out of them. But this was a first glance. I just go, I don't think you need to go all the way in on it. And I, you know, it would seemingly be a little uncharacteristic of this staff to get a player like this to start off their portal classes. If you think about the first two portal teams that they went through and built, or two of the last three, I guess. I believe Cam Carter was the first commit in the 2023 or 22-23 portal cycle. And then last year, Doug McDaniel, I think Doug was the first one, or at least was very early on there. I couldn't tell you who the first would have been in the season in between. I know it was
Tyler Perry. I think it was still Perry.
Okay, it was still Perry. It happened really late. And then that started things off. Like, when they do kick this thing off, they do it in typically a big way, where they get a guy that is going to be a 25 to 30 minutes per game type of player. Somebody that's going to play a lot and give you some production. Chase Forte doesn't profile as that. This to me would seem more like one of those where they're keeping tabs. Like, this is a guy, hey, if we're in the right spot, we'll take him. I would read this more as maybe Forte, you know, he's one of the only guys in the portal when this came about. And so, you know, you need to drum up some interest any way possible. Could be a tangible option for K-State. I don't fully love it. And we'll look to see over the next couple of days. Cause as we talk about it, K-State, nobody from K-State has entered the portal as we record this just before 5 o'clock on Monday. We waited because we thought there might be some more things to talk about with it, and there hasn't been. So if K-State's waiting around for stuff like this to happen, there are certainly other schools that are, and then other people will enter. The other thing to point out is a lot of times these coaches like to meet with these players before this time, and due to, at least in K-State's situation, I'm sure a lot of others around the country, conference tournament week happened, and then all those guys probably left from wherever their conference tournament was and just went home for spring break. So now class back underway. Guys would be back in town. So maybe tomorrow and Wednesday is when we start to see some more of this action. One guy that we have a pretty good idea that is going to be in the transfer portal, though, and people have talked about this for months now after learning as Drake beat K-State in Kansas City that there were all these familial ties for Bennett Sturts to Manhattan, you know, girlfriend's a classy cat, like all this stuff. Then he goes on and is the best player in the Missouri Valley and wins a game in Wichita for Drake over Missouri last Thursday, battled with Texas Tech, looked incredible, was going to be one of the top, you know, portal targets for anybody in the transfer portal this offseason. His head coach, Ben McCollum, is leaving Drake. So, you know, these guys that have followed him everywhere, they're also going to leave Drake. The likely landing spot would probably be to continue to go with Ben McCollum, and I know that'll disappoint some K-State fans that were hopeful that Bennett Sturts might get a shot in Manhattan.
Yeah, I would say that the smart money is probably on Iowa right now. I mean, he's followed Ben McCollum everywhere. Ben McCollum was the one that really kind of gave him an opportunity to play college basketball first at Northwest Missouri State and then at Drake. But there are a lot of family ties to K-State and a lot of things that K-State can provide that Iowa probably can't. So because of that, it's probably 65-70% Iowa. But those ties are strong enough that, like, K-State could always swing it back in their favor. But I would say that the smart money would probably be that he follows McCollum to Iowa.
Yeah, this... it's pretty heavy that would happen. I think that would be the case anyways. But as it became clear that McCollum was not going to remain at Drake, a lot of the questions were catered towards these guys in Wichita about it's kind of being this run and what comes next and all this other stuff, or reflection on going from Northwest Missouri State to Drake and doing this and everything. And it became clear just the way that Ben McCollum talked about Bennett Sturts and some of those other players, and then how the players, including Sturts, would refer to him. Like, that's just too much of an emotional tie that you're not going to unhitch the wagon at this point. When, you know, you got somebody that's done that much for your basketball career and has, it's, you know, gone from a Division II player for Sturts to, you know, people are talking NBA draft pick. You're probably going to want to stick it out with the guy that got you to that spot. And I would imagine that we know that Iowa does not have the best NIL situation for basketball.
Worst. That was nice of you to say.
Yeah, when it comes to the power conferences. But I would imagine new head coach and that type of player that everybody just saw in March, there will probably be some people that are accommodating enough to say, okay, we want you to come with that guy. K-State is going to have like a very slight chance in this that I don't think anybody else is going to have, barring, you know, them overpaying for one player in the portal era, which we know, like, I'm talking significant overpay. I'm not talking $2 million to Coleman Hawkins. I'm talking like, yeah, way more than that. This is Iowa, and then it feels like probably 3 miles between them and K-State, and then probably another drop-off would be the vibe of where the Bennett Sturt situation would go now. So it's something to put on the back burner to think, hey, you know, we'll see if there is a portal entry, because, again, that hasn't officially happened yet. Then K-State has to try and get their licks in at least. You're going to have probably an emotional pull that you can try and pull off, but it just seems – like, there'd probably be too much here for K-State to overcome because, yeah, that relationship between McCollum and all those players from Northwest Missouri State, it's a pretty strong bond, and that was apparent during their time in Wichita this week.
I also just feel like it very rarely goes the case of the other team that's involved when it's coach moving. Like, typically, if you've recruited that player to one school, you're going to get them at the next school. And now McCollum has done it twice and is looking to do it three times. So it typically does go that way, I would say.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it on the player front right now. We'll see what else it looks like for K-State as maybe more and more names come about, but it just not a lot on this first day. If we're talking about, you know, excitement and people would, in a lot of other sports with free agency or a trade deadline like this, it would be an exciting day. Pretty lame day in the world of college basketball, all things considered, even though, yeah, people are going to complain, oh, this is, the sport's ruined, all this stuff. I don't know. I still watch them. I'm still having fun.
I'm very surprised about how tame today has been. Like, I was going to ask you, like, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you that K-State hasn't had a portal entry?
I'll probably go 7. I thought that there would probably be a chance that maybe nothing happened on the first day, but I still thought somebody's got to do it. Like, we know that there are a couple of obvious targets out there that they've been pegged for the portal for a couple months now for K-State. Why would you just not get it over with, get yourself out there? Because we know that if you're the last one in, you're going to have this kind of the scarcity of options in the portal are going to give you a chance to make a lot. But if you're the first guy in, if you're the Chase Forte, can you get people talking about you? Like, you know, you're a little bit more than what you're worth. Like, I don't know. That'd be fascinating to see if you can be that first guy in there. Cause you look around right now, the current transfer portal situation, and the rankings that On3 has at this current point, Josh Dix entered last week from Iowa. That's a legit player right there, because Fran McCaffrey got fired. But like the top five options right now in the portal, Josh Dix, Bryce Hopkins, Dayton Thomas, Tucker DeVries, Owen Freeman. A couple of those, we know that Tucker DeVries is going to Indiana. You talk about following coaches. That's more than following a coach. That's following his dad. And
to his,
a lot of conspiracy theories on West Virginia Twitter about just how deep it goes to get him to follow his dad and coach. And then, you know, some of the others, they already seem to be in an echelon that K-State's not the play. They're looking to upgrade to go play at some of the real big boys right now, the proven big boys, the guys that are still playing in March or have the pedigree, because these guys are coming from Iowa, Providence, UNLV, West Virginia, and Iowa. None of those five guys played in the NCAA tournament this year, or their team didn't either.
And all but one had a coaching change, I believe.
Yeah, three technically with Dix, DeVries, and Freeman, I guess. You're right, though. Yeah, Thomas, Kevin Kruger got the axe. So, yeah, Hopkins the only one. And he's been injured enough out there, so probably a change of scenery, get away from those bad floors in Providence or whatever is causing all this to happen.
Those DeVries conspiracies are hilarious to me. Like, when DeVries got hurt, the Indiana job wasn't even open yet. And, like, they weren't even, like, thinking about firing Woodson. But West Virginia people are very convinced that the injury wasn't actually real. Just fascinating to watch.
Yeah, they're not fans of how that played out with Darren Vries. So we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, it's not like a crazy amount of names. I mean, for reference, Tyreek Smith is still the 18th ranked transfer in the portal right now. We talked about Chase Forte being ranked 20th. Those are two guys that when it's all said and done, are they even in the top 200 of player portal rankings?
Probably close, because I don't know how many more players we're going to get. Like, if we had 1,000 last year, if we had 1,000 this year, they'll probably be in like that 250 to 300 range probably.
Yeah. So it'll be fascinating to follow. We'll keep you locked in on KSO in the coming days, but not a lot going on right now. So we'll see what it brings tomorrow. We'll be back. We'll have more. And we'll do some talking, not just about the players that you're looking for in the transfer portal, but also, you know, everybody's still curious about, are any coaching staff changes going to be made? And if so, what does that look like? Or just what adjustments in general does K-State's philosophy need to be moving forward for next year? We'll have all that tomorrow on the KSO show as well. So for Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching K-State Online. And we'll be back again tomorrow talking a lot of basketball with everybody. It'll be a basketball heavy week, and hopefully we'll start to have some more breaking news with transfer stuff as the week progresses as well.